He went in to work one day, and he has missing time he still can't account for. He remembers just waking up, however, in this room. And when he woke up, he realized this patch was there. And the reason it was there was this. His body had been manipulated to need that drug to survive. And if the drug is not replaced, and the patch has to be replaced every 72 hours, he starts to die. And after one incident, when he said no more, they did that. And this is just one of countless people all over the world who are geniuses in their area that could use that genius to set the world free, who in fact use it because of this situation to further imprison the world and deny us the knowledge of the existence of these technologies, while the very same technologies are used against us to further to increase the control. Because, of course, knowledge is neutral. Technology is neutral. It's how you use it that is positive or negative and is either freeing or imprisoning. So I got to the point, particularly in a book called And the Truth Shall Set You Free, where I, in very great detail, highlighted the structure of how the world is controlled today. And later on in this two-video series, I'll get into that. But then you look at it, and you look at the scale of the structure and the detail of it and the way it works and the way all these different apparently unconnected institutions are actually connected, and you say, well, this could not have been put together in a few weeks, a few years, a few decades. So when did this thing start? And you go back. You go back. I got it comfortably to the time of the Crusades and the period that a lot of so-called knights organizations appeared, around the 1100s, 1200s, that kind of period, and into the 1300s. Very comfortably back then. Keep going back, keep going back. And eventually you're into thousands of years BC before you can pick up the thread of where this thing came from. And then you start to look at some of the great mysteries of the ancient world and ask a few questions, because conventional history says that we are at this time at the cutting edge of human knowledge. There was never any society or civilization in the past, or what we call the past, that was here or in advance of here. And in fact, the ancients were like primitive and didn't know much. Well, who built these then? The pyramids at Giza and some of the other great structures of the ancient world, which are mathematically, geometrically, perfection. Who built them? Bill and Ethel in the tent? I mean, who did it? Then you look at some of the other, this is Easter Island. I'm sure I know someone looks like that. I'm sure I know someone that was designed on. But this is, again, thousands of years ago. And them hats there are apparently 10 tons. Be interesting, wouldn't it? How did they get them up there? You know, you imagine it, can't you? Come on, Bill, bit more, left, right. Was done by high intelligence. No one knows where they came from. All the pyramids. Look at this. This is in Peru. Now, this has been done by an axe and chisel, isn't it? Look at the perfection of the way that stone is fitted into the rest. Can't hardly get a piece of paper between it. Thousands of years ago, this was done by a primitive people. Oh, aye. Places full of pigs, lion. Look at the size of this in Peru. You know, again, all right, Bill, a bit heavier this time, to the left. Fantastic knowledge created these things in the ancient world. This stone there in the center is one of three weighing 800 tons, called the Trilithon, in a place called Baalbek, what we now call the Lebanon. Thousands of years BC, that was built. And those 800-ton blocks had to be moved at least a third of a mile. Primitives did that. I read it somewhere. Must be true. He had letters after his name, the guy that said it. This is the Nazca Lines in Peru again, on the Nazca Plains. There you have a situation where in the ancient world, they scored away the top surface to reveal the white underneath. And amazing depictions of birds, insects, and animals were created in this way. And some of them were only discovered in terms of what they were when we rediscovered, and I emphasize the rediscovered out of fly in the century. Because some of these things can only be seen from 1,000 feet, apparently. So there's a a bird and here's a spider. Again, the Nazca lines. How did they do that, this primitive people all over the world? Because they were not primitive. In the sense that there was a group within ancient society that had amazingly advanced knowledge. And that's the knowledge that's been hoarded and passed over to the few into the modern world that is still used to control us and always has been used to control us. And it's amazing. People talk about prophecy. Well, here's a confirmation that prophecy is absolutely fact and not some myth. On an ancient hillside, or not an ancient hillside, but a hillside with an ancient depiction of something on it, in Devon, in England, here's an incredible prophecy of thousands of years later, the arrival on Earth of Bill Clinton. Bill comes into this in many ways. Sorry, my eyes are watering. It's all right. Cameraman's looking a bit pale as well. But Bill Clinton, again, President of the United States, as we'll see, all this stuff about, you know, Monica Lewinsky and all that stuff is actually obscuring what Bill Clinton's really involved in and what he's really connected to. Because again, we're watching day after day a smokescreen and an illusion behind which the truth is. So in the ancient world, there were people with fantastic knowledge. Where did that knowledge come from? I put this picture up just to emphasize the nonsense of how the idea that extraterrestrial life doesn't exist, how ridiculous it is. There are billions of stars in this universe. Apparently, estimated, I was reading, a billion in this galaxy. How many galaxies in the universe? That's just the physical universe. What about all the other parallel universes? What we call creation is alive with life. And yet, it's become a situation where you're ridiculed if you talk about extraterrestrial life over the years. You know, you get people saying, hey, he thinks there's other life in the universe more intelligent than me, you know. And you think, darling, I've seen a cup of coffee more intelligent than you. But the point being that to say that in this amazing mass of life in this galaxy alone, that life as we know it has only evolved on this one tiny little planet in this one solar system, that's credible. Oh, yeah, scientists say that. And yet to say there must be life elsewhere on the law of averages alone, is to be, he's a bit strange, he didn't believe in extraterrestrials. But when you look dispassionately at the evidence, and that's the point, you come into this stuff with a belief to defend, might as well go and watch The Price is Right. Because the belief will defend itself. If we let the information lead us rather than the preconceived idea, it takes us into some very interesting areas. First of all, when you look at ancient texts and traditions all over the world, literally all over the world, you find very clear descriptions of an advanced race or races that we would call extraterrestrial, not of this planet, that came to this planet and brought this advanced knowledge a long, long time ago. Some of the most famous examples of this are what have become known as the Sumerian texts or tablets. They were found in what we now call Iraq in the last century, about 1850. There's thousands of them. And they've been translated by a number of people, most famously a guy called Zachariah Sitchin. People think he's the only one that's done it because of the publicity and stuff that he's got in his books, but many other people have done it. And I've actually have come to a slightly different interpretation than him, but the common theme of all of them is this, that a group which the Sumerian tablets, which were buried around 2000 BC, something like that, that they talk about this group they call the Anunnaki in Sumerian, those who from heaven to earth came, which is the basic translation, but those who came from the high place and down to the earth overall is the feel of it, the Anunnaki. And when it talks about these Anunnaki and the tablets and stuff, and here's an example of just one of the so-called cylinder seals that were found among them depicting various things, there are some remarkable points and areas of text and evidence that you can see. First of all, there is remarkable knowledge in these texts of planetary, solar system, universal, astronomical knowledge that has only been confirmed in this century, and sometimes even more recently. In the text, for instance, they describe what Uranus and Neptune look like in a way that's only been confirmed in literally the last few years. They depict the solar system with planets that have only been found in the last century and the 20th century. How did they do that? What they say is the knowledge was brought by this Anunnaki. But it's more than that, because it talks in some detail about how this Anunnaki interbred with humanity, creating a hybrid race. And you find this theme all over the world. You find it in Genesis, in the Bible, which is a rewrite, when you do the research, of the Sumerian stories. So we get the theme of the sons of God, who interbred with the daughters of men. But when you take that back to the Hebrew, just one step, you find that that phrase, sons of God interbred with the daughters of men, actually says sons of the gods interbred with the daughters of men. And every time in the Old Testament you see the word God, it's translated from a word meaning gods. And it's clear to me that we have been misled and we've misunderstood the difference between the gods, symbolically extraterrestrials in the ancient world, and God, which is all consciousness, all energy, everything that exists. So these Sumerian tablets very much confirm this ancient race. Now, again, when you look at other cultures, you find the same stories in the ancient Hindu cultures, the Veda. The Vedas, their ancient holy books, you find descriptions of the gods flying in flying machines, which we would call aeroplanes or UFOs or flying saucers, whatever. And when you take the common theme around the world, it's very clear that in the ancient world was a race or races of very, very high technological knowledge. And this was the knowledge that built the pyramids. This was the knowledge that built all those ancient structures which conventional history and archaeology simply cannot explain. Now, this area here of what we call the asteroid belt would seem to be very, very significant. If you take Zachariah Sitchin's translation of the Sumerian tablets, the detail of which I have a problem with, I must say, here and there, they talk about, according to his translation, that a planet called Nibiru, the planet of the crossing in his translation of the Sumerian, came into this solar system a vast, vast amount of time ago. And one of its moons collided with a planet that was between Jupiter and Mars, and that created the asteroid belt, which just happens to be between Jupiter and Mars. That's one interpretation of what happened, but there are others. And I've come across a scientist, a friend in America, who's been researching all this for 30 years, and he is convinced from a large amount of different evidence that actually something different happened, not least because at a major corporation he used to work for, they did a study, the physicists at that corporation, into what must have happened to the solar system. Because when you look at the planets and how they spin and how fast they spin and all this stuff, it's very clear that some major, major disruption has happened in this solar system. It's affected not just the Earth, but also the other planets. It's a major cataclysm. And they came to the conclusion, which basically supports the theme of a guy called Emanuel Velikovsky in the 50s, who was ridiculed that what we now call Venus went through this solar system, devastated Mars, and almost destroyed the Earth. But these physicists are actually supporting the basis of that. What they believe as a result of their research is that the planet we now call Jupiter came into this solar system not that long ago, remarkably, 7,000 years ago maybe, something like that. 4,800 BC was the date that I was given for the window of time that had happened. And it collided with a planet that was in that area, and devastation unfolded, and the asteroid belt was the result. They also suggested that a great chunk of Jupiter, which is a colossal planet, of course, broke off and careered through the solar system and devastated Mars. Interestingly, the probes to Mars have suggested that the landscape of Mars is no more than 10,000 years old. So something certainly happened there that devastated it and came close enough to the Earth and was caught in the Earth's field for a while, did a couple of orbits. And that orbit, when you look at the scientific suggestion of what that would have caused, starts to confirm some incredible legends, traditions, and oral and written evidence from the ancient world all over the planet that there came what the Bible calls the Great Flood. One of the things that this would have done, this pass by what we now call Venus, is to have created a 10,000-foot tidal wave. Interestingly, in the pre-flood world, since then, agriculture as we know it began at heights above 10,000 feet. Quite obvious why that would have happened in the scenario we're talking about. It is also suggested, and my other research, and in the book The Biggest Secret, it's detailed and documented in great detail, is that there was a Martian race, which was the white race, which actually came to the Earth and was interacting with the Earth, but as a result of the devastation and destruction of Mars, actually came here because it needed to survive. And this white Aryan Martian race based itself, and those that were here at the time of the cataclysm survived as a result of going into the high places in the Near East, what we now call Turkey, Caucasus Mountains, Iran, and that sort of area. And the amazing culture that appeared there, and I come to that in a second, was the result of this knowledge. This is another map of Europe and North America. Again, I'm talking about a cataclysm here, maybe about 4,800 BC, but there have been many of them. When you look at the geological and biological records, it's very clear this planet has had many cataclysms, just talking about one. Earlier, around 13,000 years ago, there was clearly another. And that area, which they call Appalachia, which is now sea, was actually land in that window of 13,000 years ago. What we call the Alps, what we call the Himalayas and the Andes, those fantastic mountain ranges, only reached anything like their present height around 13,000 years ago. So the Earth, while we've lived through quite a stable period in known human history, actually changes its face from time to time, quite obviously, because of various events. Atlantis was supposed to have been one of the ancient cultures back in the ancient world which had this advanced knowledge and was destroyed by cataclysm. And again, this is a theme all over the world when you look at the ancient texts and oral traditions of this land of high technology, of high knowledge that was destroyed by cataclysm. And so once this cataclysm and cataclysms had unfolded over this period of time, 13,000 down to 7,000 years ago, that kind of window, a number of them, that great ancient civilization of knowledge, what the ancients called the Golden Age, was wiped from the face of the earth, and we started again. But we started again with different levels of knowledge. Among the survivors of these upheavals were the mass of the people who survived, or the representatives of them, who were still in ignorance. And then again, there were the few who had the knowledge. So it all started again. Same structure, and we've moved into the modern world where we're now at a point where we were a long, long time ago before these cataclysms wiped that civilization from the face of the earth. So what we're looking at here is the area that they concentrated on, where the white race actually came out of, interestingly. When they're talking about the Martian race being a white race and actually focusing in that area of the world, the Caucasus Mountains, southern Russia, that area, Caucasus Mountains, down into what we now call Turkey and those areas around there, Iran. That's where the white race came from. The actually original name of Iran translates as land of the Aryan. When you look at the Hindu culture in the Indus Valley, which was one of these cultures, again, that spontaneously emerged with advanced knowledge, even conventional history accepts that culture, the Vedas and the structure of the Hindu religion, etc., was taken into the Indus Valley by an Aryan white race from the Caucasus Mountains. And when the floodwaters started to recede down from the high places, which could be the translation of Anunnaki, those who came from the high place, came down into the Indus Valley, into the plains and valleys of Sumer, and they created the Sumerian culture, which is accepted again by conventional history, didn't start at this level and gradually evolve. It started at a very high level of advancement and then gradually fell away. Same with Egypt. It started at a very high level of advancement and then gradually fell away. Babylon, another one. And again, there are different uses of knowledge. And Babylon appears to have been a center for those who were in a state of being that wanted to use this knowledge to control, because Babylon was where so much of the manipulation and control of today actually came out of. So, in short, we have an extraterrestrial race in that area, interbreeding with humanity, creating hybrid bloodlines. Now, in The Biggest Secret, I go into this in much more detail, but it seems to me that along with this white Martian race was what UFO researchers have called a reptilian race. And the detail of that is documented there. And it's this reptilian race that also interbred with humanity. And I think the reptilian race were the Anunnaki.